Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
You might have seen those pictures of Gwyneth Paltrow's muscular tummy. They set the internet alight last month. She appeared at a red carpet ceremony in Los Angeles and all sorts of articles followed. They both admired and admonished her chiseled core. Some questioned how a woman in her 50s could achieve the look and others offered workouts to try at home. But the question is, are we focusing on the wrong thing when it comes to core strength? Well, I'm joined in the studio by chartered physiotherapist at Total Physio, Jenny Brannigan, and Professor Roseanne Kenny, who's head of the Ageing Research Programme at Trinity. And you're both very welcome. Thanks. I was looking again at the picture and I think what you see first are the ribs. Gwyneth's ribs is not a pick on her. No. But really it was the toned tummy that grabbed everybody's attention. How did you feel, Jenny, first of all, about those pictures? And is it something that we should aspire to?
Well, we would always be thinking about function. So are you fit for what you want to be able to do? So that's our focus always. Now, you can't help but admire how great she looks. She looks fantastic for 50, of course. But the worry that I would have is, how does she manage that? And are we setting up unrealistic expectations for people through the way she achieves it with diet? And also the fact that if you think about her lifestyle, she doesn't have a comparable lifestyle to any of us. Mm-hmm. So are we just having people put too much pressure on themselves to try and achieve that when it's really unachievable, unless you're very stringent and strict and disciplined and are able to afford that way of life?
Yeah, well, bone broth, I think, is her secret, isn't it? Doesn't sound very appealing. No breakfast and a bit of bone broth for lunch. So if you want to do that, work away.
But I'd also be worried if she also talks about exercising for an hour a day, which is excellent and we should all be doing that. But is she getting enough fuel to is she getting enough food to fuel that activity? Mm-hmm. And that can be actually dangerous for your system, of course, if you're not getting enough food on board to fuel that activity.
Is it realistic, though? Is it possible, Roseanne, to have those chiselled abs as a woman who is, Gwyneth is 50. Is she 50 or
she's
more?
50, 50. Yeah. I think that it's very exceptional. That's the first thing to say. And obviously, she's been working, toning herself to that level, and she has an incentive to do it, all of her adult life to age 50. So that makes it easier. And I'm quite sure during her pregnancies, she had somebody also toning her during her pregnancies. So I think the expectation for ordinary people is much too high, and particularly for women. It's hard for women around the menopause and postmenopausal time in particular to keep abdominal fat off, because the hormonal changes make it much more likely that you're going to put fat on in that area. So you could have wonderful abdominal muscles, but you mightn't see them because you may have a very nice fatty apron covering them. So I would say it's important to couple core exercises, which are really important for other reasons, not just so you can wear one of those little belly tops to an evening event, but so that you manage to retain balance and reduce or prevent falls going forward. That's really important.
And that all stems from the core, Jenny, doesn't it? The balance.
Yes. So everybody thinks that the core is just your tummy, but actually you have a cylinder of core, if you think about it. You've got your tummy muscles at the front. So of course, the six-pack muscle everybody knows about, your rectus abdominis, but you've three layers of tummy muscles. You also have your obliques on the side of your trunk, so from your ribs to your pelvis, and they're really important for rotational strength. You have the deepest layer. Anyone who does Pilates will recognize the transversus abdominis. But then you also have the diaphragm at the top, you have your pelvic floor on the bottom, and then you have your back muscles and your buttock muscles. So we're not just talking about tummy here, we're talking about a cylinder that allows us to stabilize our trunk as we move our arms and legs. Mm-hmm. And that's the really important thing, is that you have that strength through that whole cylinder. And again, that becomes really relevant as you get older, because balance is so key, and preventing falls as people get older is vital.
So let's forget about Gwynny now and her lovely flat tummy and all of that. Having core strength is really important as we age, isn't it, Roseanne?
Absolutely. What we don't realize is that over the age of 65, for example, 20 to 25% of us have significant scoliosis. That's a curvature of the spine, which is in the vast majority of cases acquired. It means we've developed it during our adult lifetime. The bottom of our spine particularly takes an awful hammering. throughout our lives. And what will help with pain, believe it or not, from the spine is to have strong muscles supporting the spine. Now, very often, unfortunately, pain from arthritis happens and it becomes impossible to move, and that can become a vicious cycle. As early as possible to start developing, I love your analogy of cylinder, you know, work on the cylinder, and the cylinder includes the paraspinal muscles, the back muscles. They'll help your spine before pain starts. If you have spinal pain, you have to get over the acute inflammatory period. And that's 1 in 4 of us have that. But if you have that, get over the acute inflammatory period and then very gradually introduce a program of muscle building, muscle strengthening exercises for that cylinder.
Mm-hmm. And Jenny, this is where you come in. Do you want us all to do crunches and planks?
No, absolutely not. And I want people to move away from static planks because it's not functional. Mm. Again, we think about how do we stabilise our trunk so that our arms and legs can move. So planks are fine if you're building basic initial strength, but then you need to think about how to make them dynamic. So you need to be moving in a much more compound way. So if you're in a plank position, for example, you need to be, instead of staying there, push up on your right hand, your left hand, come back down again on the right and on the left. So you come into a plank press up. Suddenly it's much more dynamic. You have to engage way more muscles. Your arms get brought more into the picture. And it's much more relevant if you have to push a heavy trolley or push a heavy door or, God forbid, push somebody away from you. You need to have that stability in your trunk and then be able to push through the arms and be able to manage that force.
That'd be very tough, though. That'd be a tough exercise.
That
would be quite advanced.
To that.
Yeah. So maybe if we're talking to somebody who's just walking, that's their exercise, no weight bearing exercise, and you're saying to them, well, I want you to develop your trunk now, your core strength, so that you can lift your grandchild and lift your shopping easily, avoid the falls, as Roseanne was saying earlier. Where do you start?
I would start with more compound movements like rotation as well as leg work. So we'd look at lunges with maybe an overhead press. We'd look at squats into an overhead press. So an overhead press where you're lifting a weight over your head. You would look at some resisted rotational work. So if you think about having a weight and maybe walking around with that 2 or 3 kilo kettlebell in your hand, putting it onto your shelf, then taking the kettlebell and putting it on the floor, then taking it and putting it, you know, over onto the bed and moving around with some weight in your arms. Again, if you're thinking about your baby, how heavy is your baby? If your baby's 5 kilos, you need to practice lifting a 5 kilo kettlebell around and twist with that 5 kilo kettlebell. Lift it up over your head, lift it back down, lift it down into the cot, lift it back up again. And you're replicating what you need to be able to do in your life. You need strong legs, you need strong buttocks, and you need to be making sure that you coordinate that movement. So it's not about crunches. It's about how does your movement pattern mirror what you have to do in your daily life. Mm-hmm. So depending on what the person has an issue with, if you're in your 30s and you have a new baby, or if you're a grandparent and you want to lift your grandchild, we would look at where your baseline of strength and fitness is at that point and then build it. But it has to be functional. The key is functional. So lying on the ground and killing yourself with crunches and static planks, it's not going to be as relevant as using weights and lifting, you know, going up and down steps with a weight in your hand. That's really relevant. How many people fall when they're trying to lift a laundry basket up and down the stairs? So we need to make these things functional so that people then immediately see a carryover into their everyday life.
Yeah, it's just about living well and feeling safe as well, Roseanne, as we age, because you know you have that strength within yourself.
Balance is part of all of this. And the balance exercise, a very simple one, is to stand on one leg. You've heard me say it before, Claire, but that engages all of your core muscles. And if you try doing that eyes open and eyes closed a couple of times a day, that engages everything. It builds your, obviously the balance muscle, but it builds your confidence with respect to balance. Poor balance is the commonest reason why people get falls.
Yeah, and that happens as we age as well.
Absolutely,
so this
very
is,
much.
This is something that you can do just to try and safeguard yourself against that, build that core strength.
This will be familiar to the listeners. 45% of people who fracture a hip never get back to their previous level of independence. Like half of people never get back to what they were if they break a hip. And by far the commonest reason for breaking a hip is stumbling and falling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's terribly important if you want to remain independent and enjoy life going forward to protect yourself against the possibility of falls and balance instability.
You came across two interesting studies, I know, recently that they looked at the effect of physical activity, diet and stress on older people. So what did they tell
you? I'll give both of them had the same. So I'll tell you what both of them did. They used the biological clock, epigenetics, to measure how we could reverse the aging process, not just slow it down, but bring the cord back a couple of years. And the diet was very much a Mediterranean stroke microbiotic diet. There was no broth. There was liver and there were eggs for protein and loads of vegetables, nuts and seeds, etc. That's number one diet. Number two was exercise. Exercise to 80% of your capacity. Okay, so push it 30 minutes five times a day. And four was de-stressing, and within that was sleep. Or three was de-stressing, and within that was sleep. So there were the three things, trying, really working hard with people to get good sleep. And they pushed, in 8 weeks, they pushed the biological clocks back by half a year, six months. That's remarkable.
And if you are doing that exercise five times a week, you're probably going to sleep better. You know, it's all interlinked, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And then sleeping better de-stresses, because the whole thing about not getting sleep is it feeds into a whole stress profile that's very toxic. Mm-hmm. So, but I personally loved the fact that they showed biologically they could, that adhering to what we're talking about now this morning could actually make a difference at a cellular level.
I like this exercise, Jenny, you have the push-up that you do while you're making a cup of tea. You're using your furniture to use your weight really to strengthen the core.
Absolutely. And it's a really easy way to get lots of bang for your buck. It gives you loads of value for those few minutes that you'll spend. So a lot of people are put off push-ups because they think, oh, I have to be on my hands and on my toes. But actually, if you're against a stable table or your kitchen counter and you're waiting for the kettle to boil or your whatever, you just get into that position, take three steps away from that kitchen counter and do some press-ups. Tuck your tailbone in, you're protecting then that positioning of your spine, and then you get those arms working, your shoulder blade muscles, your tummy muscles are working, your back muscles are working, your leg muscles are working. Mm. You get so much value for that one move, and it will help to develop your strength. One day you might only be able to do two or three, and then in a month's time you'll be up to 10 or 12. It's really easy to accumulate strength in that way.
And would you want people then to progress from that to maybe doing a push-up on a lower piece of furniture?
Yes.
And move on to maybe doing a press-up on your knees?
Absolutely. Or if you think about your stairs, go on to your fourth stair from the bottom and work your way down towards the floor. So you would always be trying to challenge yourself. So when that starts to get easy, you try and make it a little bit more difficult by going a little bit lower. Absolutely. Getting onto the knees is a really good way, because particularly if you think about your technique, it's very hard, even on your knees, to keep those elbows tucked in. Most of us flare out these sort of chicken wings. We want to keep into that military press-up position, keep the elbows tucked in. And that's quite difficult. You do have to generate a good bit of strength to build up to that. But if you do it gradually, it absolutely will come. And it doesn't matter what age you are when you start to do that.
And that's going to get the tricep
at the
back. The
bingo wings, it's brilliant for that.
Some people listening to this, though, might just think, well, I have never done any sort of resistance training and it's so alien to them. And we've spoken before, Roseanne, and you said maybe a trainer just to get you started might be the way to do it. Do you think that what Jenny is describing is very doable, or do you still think you need a bit of professional guidance?
It's absolutely doable, but the evidence generally is that people don't adhere to it. if you've only got yourself to motivate yourself, it's very difficult. It's much easier if you're in a class, for example, a Pilates class or something like that. That would be how I would start it if you're not doing anything. Or a personal trainer. Join a gym and a personal trainer.
Yeah, just to give you some guidance even at the beginning. Thank you both very much. No bone broth now for lunch. That's banned. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. You can catch up on anything you might have missed on the show on the RT Radio app. Today's programme was produced by Niamh Lyons, researched by Ciarán Dunn. Our broadcast coordinator was Jarnith Holland. Mark McGrath was on sound. Back with you tomorrow. Now though, it's over to Louise.